Welcome to Ed Said, the podcast that complements Ed Says here on the Talk of Connecticut. Every day I post the best bits from the day's show, plus a little exclusive content today. No different. Starting off the show, I want to talk about fantasy football. I'm actually going to take part in a league for the first time in, I think, 15 years. It's been a long time since I've decided to play in one, because most of the time, I forget about it. I sign up, I do the draft, drink beers, have a great time, think my team's going to be great. 3 weeks in, I forget to change my lineup, and that lineup stays the same through bye weeks and everything. It's a good opportunity to waste a couple of bucks and have a reason to pay attention to the NFL because, well, my team is terrible. Washington Football is my sports franchise, and, well, they're just awful. Have been ever since that terrible owner took over. One of the nice things about living in Connecticut is there isn't a team here. Any real big professional sports teams, and that's nice. When I lived in the nation's capital, I rooted for the hockey team and the basketball team and the football team, coughed up good money to go to the events and wear their jerseys, and, well, got rewarded with bupkis. The last time I saw a title was in 93, and the last time I saw a good playoff run in person was in 98. That was in hockey. The team has been disappointing since then as well. It seems to be a thing. Washington, D.C. disappoints all around, except in monuments and museums. But politicians and sports, well, nothing but disappointment. But getting back into fantasy football, I guess it's a middle-aged dad thing to do. It's an opportunity to talk trash to my buddies via text on the weekends. Not sure how much I'm going to have to shell out to get into this thing. I probably won't win, but it would be nice if I did, because I only have a passing interest in the sport these days. I used to spend much more time focusing on it, and now I just couldn't care less. I mean, I watch the games here and there. You don't get a lot of Washington on TV here, and I don't pop for cable, so if it's not over the air, I'm not watching it. So really, I'm just doing this to bust my buddies' chops all season long by making decisions that infuriate them and probably coming out with a win or two, which will make them even angrier. And isn't that what friendship's really about? Irritating your friends to no end? We'll see how I do. I'll keep you up to date on my terrible fantasy football team, and I'm open to suggestion on team names as well, should you have any. Let's get into the podcast. Two bits for you today, as usual, here on Ed Says.
I want to talk about perspective and heroes and whether someone's accomplishments are the sum of their parts and whether they can outweigh something they did or didn't do. Penn State planning on celebrating the 50th anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game as coach as they host Temple on the 17th of September. University spokesman telling the AP that Penn State plans to announce specifics of the commemoration to ticket holders during the week off, declining further. This, of course, sparking an outlash of anger as people are wondering why you would honor someone who you have taken down his statue, although the library is still in his name. He was fired, effectively. And you're going to continue to honor him when what he is tied into is so reprehensible. Now, there's testimony and documents that allege Paterno knew of child abuse back in 1976. There is nothing concrete about that. But if we go back 76, if we go back 40 years, and there is no way on God's green earth that he had no knowledge of what was happening. There are plenty of people who speculate he knew, like this testimony back in 76, and then along the way, covering for Sandusky. There's a real estate deal that plays into it as well. But I'm reading these comments on this article from, it's an op-ed from a kid at Penn State saying, remaining rutted in the past does nothing for the future. Penn State needs a reality check. This is our Penn State. And the comments are filled with alumni who are like, it's not your Penn State. I went there too, blah. I don't understand that culture. Maybe it's because I had a different college experience. I went a little later in life. I went as an adult, not as an 18-year-old. I went a few years later. I commuted in. I didn't live on campus. I didn't drink the proverbial Kool-Aid, as it were, buying into this fake idea, in my opinion, of community, and then of sending money back to an institution after I've already paid them thousands of dollars. I went to Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia, and every piece of correspondence they send me, I throw away. They are not getting a dime out of me. I'm still paying some student loans. They got their money. You don't go to an electronics store, purchase your TV, pay for it, and then after you watch it, go, oh, I should kick them a few bucks. No, transaction's over. See ya. Sayonara. Figure it out like any other business should. But for whatever reason, this idea of alumni, and they can't let this go. They are mad at this new student for claiming ownership of the school they're currently attending. They're just vile comments. And it's unbelievable to me. The defense, Paterno should be honored now because he was treated so badly in 2011. If they had done the right thing then, we wouldn't need to do it now. You're defending a guy who covered for a man who molested children. Like, how do you... That is indefensible. And yet we let our hero worship get in the way. I would love to talk to some of these individuals. Like, let it go. Let it go. The guy won some football games. Big deal. Oh, but he put us on the national stage. Great. He didn't. His players did. He coached them. And what he didn't do by reporting Sandusky, but not reporting Sandusky, is more offensive than his contribution was positive. I don't care how you cut it. If you can tell me that, oh, well, no, what his accomplishments on the field outweigh not saying anything to authorities, that's a problem. You have a problem. And I want there to be a Penn State alum listening right now to call in and defend if they can at 888-574-2723. I would hope there isn't one because you cannot defend it. But we are so quick to vilify another individual for one thing. Those of you who vilified Colin Kaepernick, do you defend Joe Paterno? If you are an adult, man or woman, if you are an adult who sits by idly while a crime is committed, just a crime, you are irresponsible. If you are an adult who sits by idly while someone hurts children, you are reprehensible and deserve to rot. And yet there are people, a school going to celebrate his first game. You forget about them. You let their memory fade. They don't deserve recognition. But there's a long list of people who will defend him. 888-574-2723, the number into the studio. And it goes beyond that. It's not just football where they defend it. There's a story out of Philly where an officer was spotted with what appears to be a neo-Nazi tattoo. Officer Ian Hans Lichterman has a tattoo of the eagle, the German eagle, but it looks like the modified version for the Nazi party, and it says Fatherland above it. That's on one arm. On the other arm, it says God and Country with an American flag with a rifle over it. Pictures of him have surfaced in a Nazi uniform participating in a reenactment ceremony. Shows to be a fan of Germany. It is being investigated. Photographs of his tattoo taken during the Black Resistance March during the Democratic National Convention. He was on bicycle patrol when the photos were taken. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I've challenged those of you who tell people to love it or leave it when they fly a flag in their home or car of maybe the nation they came from. I challenge you to say the same to this guy who's got his, what some say is neo-Nazi, what some might say is German pride tattoo in uniform. I would challenge you to say the same thing. Is he well within his rights to believe what he wants and whatever he wants? Yes, he is. Absolutely. Do I think he is who should be representing the police in Philly? Probably not. And everything points to him holding those views as people, the internet, you know, what they do research. It at least appears to be part of the insignia of the Nazi Party, which is an eagle with outstretched wings with the word Fatherland over it. Can't tell from the angle if, I would imagine he removed the swastika from the bird's claws. But the picture doesn't do it justice. Now, the bird has gone through many iterations, but the one on his arm is particularly used, and I believe only used, or very similar to the one used during that time. And he has been connected by internet sleuths to parties. So, here we have a police officer who we hold in high regard, a head coach with a winning record held in high regard. Both doing things that I would say are fundamentally wrong. One way more so than the other. This guy wants to think Germany's the fatherland and wants whatever he wants. Great. Good luck with that. Whereas Joe Paterno turned a blind eye to child abuse. I would put him definitely in the worst camp. And yet there are people out there who will defend him and who say he deserves this tribute. And I just don't understand it. And it makes me ill. Stop judging people on positions, on uniforms, on jobs and records, and judge them on the entirety of their actions, of their lives. And there was certainly no remorse on his part. And he got lucky. Sandusky's at least in prison. Joe Pa got out by passing away.
Ed says, the talk of Connecticut.
No, we're talking pot here on Ed Says. And let me preface this by saying that this is not an emotional response for me. I don't smoke pot. Have I? Yes. I am not a regular smoker. I would say I've done it a handful of times in my life. Less than a dozen, I would put it at. And only one really good experience can I remember. And oh, it was really good. And maybe that's the time I got the good stuff. A lot of giggles being had, a lot of naps, standing up quick for 20 seconds and then waking back up. It was a good time. Let's go to David in Middletown. Good morning, David.
Hey, how are you, Ed?
Doing well.
Hey, I got a question for you. So, let's say you own DRC radio station, and you're going to hire employees, and all the employees you want to hire come in stoned and potted up and all screwed up. I mean, are you going to get 100% productivity out of these people?
Well, let's just take it as it is. You're assuming that right now that none of my employees are showing up high. And I think that is an assumption you cannot make. One,
well,
because I work...
I mean, I apologize. Let me just say, I don't know if the radio station drug test. But I'll give you another example. Our
company, I'm not even talking about because it's in radio. Although
no,
in radio,
no. I'm pretty much. I'll give you even a different one away from radio. All right. We do construction. All right. And we drug test our employees. Okay. Now I cannot have employees going out to the job sites being intoxicated, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs or anything. People's lives are going to be in danger, okay? And it's hard enough to go and do the job sober, let alone trying to do it while you are on a drug or alcohol or anything.
Right, so you mentioned alcohol.
From a safety standpoint, Ed...
Well, Ken, let me address it. Is alcohol legal?
Yes, it is.
Is there the possibility that one of your employees theoretically could show up to the job drunk?
No.
No, there is the possibility.
No, they were.
No, Ken, I'm not talking about your guys. So,
no,
but well, what happens? What happens if one of your employees shows up drunk?
See you later. Goodbye.
That same thing when it comes to pot.
No,
that's
it's
the
not.
Thing. That's yes. As an employer, that's what you could do.
No,
it's called personal responsibility. If I show up to this job
first
naked,
of all,
if I show up drunk,
drug tested, so they never get hired.
Yeah, but no, see, you're missing my entire point. Is that that exists already with alcohol. The possibilities you're talking about of abuse by someone or showing up to the workplace, that's personal responsibility. Clearly, that person values getting drunk or high more than working, and that's not someone you want working for you.
Correct. We agree on that. Here's the long-term problem, okay? These people end up getting cancer. Or getting diseases. Do you know how many chemicals are in marijuana? Thousands.
I mean, everybody gets
okay.
cancer or diseases.
We're
all dying right now.
Yeah, but now when it's self-induced, who's got to pay for those long-term costs?
What do you say about people who are drinking too much, cirrhosis of the liver, smoking regular cigarettes, which are legal? How many people on your job site smoke?
None.
Not a single person smokes
a
cigarette.
Not a single person. We don't hire smokers.
Well, good for you, but I would argue that you are in the minority when it comes to construction. Having had work done on my house.
Maybe, but all of the...
Well, then, Ken, keep doing what you're doing.
No,
you
no,
clearly
no.
Have
but all
the answers.
All of the construction sites today, Ed, okay, smoke-free.
But do they smoke in their free time?
That's their
right.
Their business. I can't stop
exactly.
Them.
Personal responsibility. You
right.
can't keep an eye on them. But when they show up for the job, they abide by the rules.
But
so pot
want
doesn't
a
change any of that.
Society, when you want a society, okay, who are a bunch of dopers.
You already have it. You would be amazed at how many people are smoking pot on the daily that you interact with and you don't even know it. Ken, I appreciate the call. 888-574-2723. Let's go to David in Middletown. David, are you there? Nope. Do we lose David? Let's go to Ron in Meriden then. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, sir. Interesting conversation you're having this morning.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that, first of all, I use medical marijuana, and it helps me a great deal with pain and dealing with life, generally speaking. I believe that it's very good for people to use. Some people can need it for pain, and some people can't handle alcohol. There's other reasons for it. And I'm not saying that I have a problem with alcohol or anything, but I've had my situations. But the medical marijuana thing in Connecticut would be a great opportunity for the state of Connecticut. I was listening to something recently where they made over $135 million in tax revenue in Colorado, and I think that would help the state of Connecticut a great deal if they were to pursue opening up their channels with this marijuana thing and legalizing it.
And that's how I feel about it. I think people are naive in thinking that pot use doesn't already exist. These are transactions that are already happening, usage that's already happening, that could be revenue for the state. Also, the idea that it automatically becoming recreationally legal and that everybody will become a pothead? No, because it's not hard to get. I could probably go out into this building. I could probably not leave this building and score pot. Maybe not on site, but set up an appointment to go pick it up later. It is easy to acquire. It isn't expensive. And you know what? It's happening. So either we could make it safer by making it legal and, you know, reap the benefits of tax revenue, or we continue to vilify it, spend money on law enforcement and chasing it and on the war on drugs, and that to me is foolish. I appreciate the call.
No problem, sir. Thank you.
Let's go to Bob in Enfield. Good morning, Bob.
I want to give you my intake on what you were talking about marijuana. And
yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, you're stating, you know, all about the money, the taxes and all that, but there's a lopsided end to all this. You know, you don't hear about in Boulder, Colorado, they fund mental health for young kids. Kids that have gone into hospitals because their parents are irresponsible. When you legalize a drug, you're going to get abuse, and you're going to have costs at the other end. But it costs a hell of a lot more than what you're making in taxes through you know, special ed, because marijuana, they've had tests, and they know it alters the brain. You got young brains that kids are going to school. I lived through the marijuana, through the 60s. I'm 70 years old. I seen what it did to some of the people I know, and some of them are dead. And, you know, marijuana, you can say what you want, but, you know, according to this disease for center control, we have 50 to 55 million Americans that have a problem with booze. You have 30 million that are on marijuana, that are, and it's going to expand. And then you've got another 8 to 10 million that are on heroin, and then who knows how many on opiate use. So you're talking, when you legalize something, remember, there's a cost at the end of the tunnel that you don't talk about. You only think about the revenue. You know, that comes with taxes. That's my spill.
Well, it's all about, I will go back to it being all about personal responsibility. I could go to the grocery store right now and buy cans of whipped cream, or I could go to the office supply store and buy those little keyboard sprayers and do whippets as long as I want. Is it smart? No. Will I kill myself? Yes, but it is about personal responsibility. You talked about abusing alcohol. That's going to happen. People need to be responsible for themselves, and if they have a problem, well, then we need to have facilities there to handle that rather than chasing them down and incarcerating them.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you there. You know,
Bob, I appreciate the call. 888-574-2723. Listen, I love booze. I'm a booze bag, or was. When I had nothing going on and it was just me and a recliner and a TV or a party and some cash, I could go out on the town, I would drink, and I would drink a lot. Then as I got older and my priorities shifted, you know, other things became more important for me. And being my family, my wife, my kid, my job, my career, and my health. You know, it's being young and dumb and then growing up and figuring it out. But it's about personal responsibility. You can abuse anything, whether it's alcohol, whether it's food, whether it's cigarettes, even relationships. Like, you can get too much into one person, and it's not healthy for anybody. It happens. People are complicated, and we're a mess. We're all a mess. Everybody's got their flaws. But to argue against it is to not recognize that it is happening anyway. It will continue to happen. And in my estimation, they talk about it being a gateway drug. The only reason it is a gateway drug is because of the other drugs available when you go to procure marijuana. If you could just buy pot from a pot store, you wouldn't be offered any of the other wares that the drug dealer might be carrying. It's just pot. Do I think all those other things should be legalized? No. Do I think maybe they should be decriminalized? Yes. Because, again, it comes to personal responsibility. There are always going to be people that are self-destructive. It's just kind of hardwired into some people. You can't do anything to stop it. No amount of legislation is going to do it. But incarcerating people who enjoy pot isn't going to help. Plus, again, these are transactions that are already happening on a daily basis, and they should be done safely, and they should be done to benefit the state. Look at Colorado and the influx of cash they've had. And I don't think that, like you mentioned, that making it legal now, there's going to be something down the road, because I don't think usage will spike that much. And if anything, it might make the kids be like, eh, it's not so cool anymore because it's not illicit. But that's just, you know, that's my opinion. There's probably some science to back me up. But again, it's something that's happening. And I think if you're not going to make the drug dealers fill out their tax forms at the end of the year, you should at least maybe make that portion legit and make some revenue off it. Because the truth is, the states around us are going to do it.